As individuals, each of us has faced the challenge of finding a quiet place to attain uninterrupted sleep. Now imagine in the bustling Reno Sparks Convention Center finding such a site, or among a colony in a confined area of thousands of siblings doing the same. So where to sleep may make for a very important decision for the individual, especially within a society. But first, why sleep? The journal Science posed this question among the top 100 unanswered questions in science, including the origin of the universe. Well, several people have been attempting to answer this question, and some of the most recent interesting evidence relates to memory consolidation and learning in humans and other organisms. Part of the methodology involves a psychomotor vigilance task, or finger typing task. Alan Rechtschaffen, famous sleep researcher, suggested that if sleep doesn't serve an absolutely vital function, it is the biggest mistake evolution ever made. So here's offers the importance of sleep, or the suggestion of the importance of sleep. Now, what is sleep? It can be measured electrophysiologically. It can be measured as a suite of behavioral characters. And that suite can include an individual specific posture, and that posture exhibited for extended reoccurring periods, generally or relatively immobile, and it better be reversible. Otherwise, it's probably a coma, cold torpor, or death. And finally, or not finally, but probably most importantly, your arousal threshold is lifted. So if you're in this state, it takes more of a stronger environmental stimulus to rouse you or reverse that state. And Irene Tobler has suggested it's also important in that it's internally controlled. So in the case of the bee on the left and the batch of Drosophila on the right, if you're disturbed of sleep, on the subsequent night of sleep, right there with the black bar, you'd expect an increase of the treatment bees that were sleep deprived with respect to this sleep rebound or increased expression of sleep. Who sleeps? Well, over 150 species of mammals have been tested, many birds, a number of vertebrates, but only a handful of invertebrates, and one of those, most famously by Walter Kaiser, is Apis mellifera, the honeybee. He looked at this suite of characters very meticulously, and from his work and Stefan Sauer's work, I wanted to examine sleeping bees in the hive. So this should be, it's a running film, and this is a relatively immobile bee drooping in the direction of gravity, and you, at some point you'll see a quick flutter of the metazoma or gaster, and that is discontinuous ventilation. So these proxies for sleep were things that Walter Kaiser has looked at and I have looked at. But previous to my research, almost no one has examined anyone but the terminal caste of worker bees, the foragers. But as we know, they engage in age polyethism, so you expect a number of different behaviors that are generally binned within these task-based categories. So I wanted to examine sleep across worker honeybees, and I found that sleep exhibited increases across age-based or task-based castes when bees are outside of cells, readily visible. Well, if you look inside the cells, you find the opposite pattern, so that the youngest bees sleep more, at least inside cells. If you combine the data, all worker bees sleep the same amount, except potentially for the first couple of days of worker life when cell cleaners appear to sleep more than the rest of the bees. This is relevant because most sleep research has suggested that organisms tend to sleep less as you age. Well, to be more convinced that what I was examining inside cells was sleep, I decided to build a hive in which I'd create a cross-section, introduce individually marked, paint-marked bees in a colony of about 800, and watch the bees inside. So if you watch this bee, this mark bee, it's cleaning a cell. So is that one. This one, I would say, is sleeping if I were examining her outside of a cell because of the relative immobility and discontinuous ventilation of the gaster. But what about this one? It's relatively immobile, but it has a continuous ventilatory rate of the gaster or metasoma. Well, I simultaneously took thermal video, so at least in this case, I could distinguish that bee from the others. So here's your sleeping bee, the same one you saw a moment ago. Here's one of the cleaning bees. And this bee that was immobile but with a continuously ventilating gaster is piping white hot. And she is a heater bee for adjacent brood cells, warming those cells. So I felt fairly confident that when I'd spot bees, even if I'm looking at the tip of the gaster from above, that I could potentially make a claim for those being sleeping bees as well, as long as they were discontinuously ventilating. I also looked at periodicity of sleep, so that the youngest bees, whether or not you're looking at night versus day over a 72-hour period, have no rhythmicity with respect to the exhibition of sleep, nor do the nurse bees, but food stores begin to show a significant difference between night and day, sleeping more at night, and this may be a consequence of a ripple effect of responding to foragers, which definitely sleep more at night than during the day. But all of that is in the past. I wanted to examine where bees sleep. So looking at a hive under red light, which presumably bees are less receptive to, I scanned sampled bees after introducing individually marked ones at various stages of their lifetimes. So I looked at a bee, say, as a cell cleaner for 24 hours, and then a nurse bee, then a food store, and then a forager. With a thermal camera, I could point out the mesoma, or the allotrunk of a bee, and take an average thermal recording of that bee, and I could also take this average surrounding temperature of that bee. I also made hive maps with the prospect that the cell constituents below a bee may contribute to the heat and therefore the behavior or sleep site choice. Colored that, and then I superimposed symbols with different colors that reflect different behaviors of the bee, including different, you might say, stages or depth of sleep, along with the different temperatures as measured by the thermal camera. And general conclusions for the different casts, they all exhibited a sleep state. And in the case of cell cleaners, they slept in the area of the greatest activity, slept near uncapped brood, slept only inside cells, and when you take into account the surrounding temperature, the temperature was the same during the night as during the day. And if I looked at nurse bees, essentially the same pattern. So these youngest bees are sleeping in the area of activity, and in the case of nurse bees, at least mostly inside cells, but they also slept a little bit outside cells. As they age and turned into food storers, found that actually they sleep closer to the edge of the hive, and they sleep mostly outside of cells, and oddly, their body temperature is greater at night. And finally, foragers, they sleep even closer to the edge of the colony, slept far from uncapped brood, mostly on empty cells and capped brood, and slept only outside cells. So to give a sub-sampled vision of spatially oriented sleep, I just randomly picked 10 points, so it won't be a beautiful bullseye pattern that the entire number might show. See that callows will stay awake or be asleep with no difference spatially. They'll all be sort of toward the center of the colony and right in the brood comb if there is brood. Same with nurse bees, sleeping in or out of cells or awake, they'll be right there more toward the center on average. If you look at food stores, they're awake a little bit closer to the edge as well as sleeping inside cells, which they occasionally do. Foragers, awake right in the area of where the food stores are awake, but then when you look at the food stores and foragers asleep, they're significantly closer to the edge of the colony. So what does this mean? Well, first conclusion, older bees sleep closer to the edge of the hive, and that may be due to their need to attain less fragmented sleep. But there are other potential explanations that I would like to pursue in the future. Next, older bees sleep outside of cells while the younger bees sleep inside cells. This may be due to the fact that younger bees want greater access to brood comb where they do most of their work, and their inside cells may be to obtain also less fragmented sleep. But there are other explanations also that I'd like to pursue. So I think that looking at where and when bees sleep might contribute greatly to the better understanding of functionality of sleep, and I'd like to look at sleep maps as a potential new means of looking at a complex behavior spatially as well as temporally. And many thanks to folks both in Germany and the US.
Okay, we have time for one question.
Please.
Do individual bees have individual places where they like to hang out and sleep?
Excellent question. Do individual bees have their individual sleep site fidelity? And it appears that they do not. When I followed a forager, say for example, over a 24-hour period, and I watched her on every site where she exhibited the same behavior, she was all over the place, but always on the edge of the brood comb, or even farther out toward the edge or periphery of the colony. But no, there was no sleep site fidelity beyond that pattern. Thank you much.
Thank you, Anthony.
All right.